I'd go home, I reckon, with wet pants, because my Uncle Vic would make you laugh that he used to make out that he used to say, Clara, Moricha. And you should have heard
Morincha.
Moricha, yeah.
Which is
mice. Yeah, mice.
And she'd hate it.
She'd scream. You could hear her. You could hear her scream.
So did you make the coffee?
Everything was prepared. That's right, I do remember. Everything was prepared, and Mum used to say, you put it on top of the stove, but in Italian, mette sopra stufa, and wait until it comes up. It used to be the old aluminium ones, remember? They used to, so we used to take it out with that, yes. I didn't make it. She prepared it. The water and the coffee was there. All I had to do was put it on and wait for it to come up. I even burned the kitchen down one time.
Really?
Yes, I did. I think I was 11. Yes, I did.
And was it gas or electricity?
It was electricity. I had the chips, I had oil going and it got too hot and I shifted it from, I think a flame caught fire. I shifted it on top of the sink. The sink had the curtains done in nylon. That all caught fire. And I remember going outside and screaming to my father, who was in the in the garden, the house is catching fire. What am I going to do about it? He said to me. I remember coming and it singed. You know, everything singed more than anything. That I do remember. I got told off about that. I think I might have been about 10 or 11, but I was doing those things then, you know. So
did you come home from school and do that?
Yep. My mother used to have a list on the table. And this is what we're going to eat tonight. Not in English, in Italian. Indorare bistecche. Indorare means the veal cutlets, and you used to put them through the egg and breadcrumbs. That means indorare in Veneto, indorare, I bistecche. And but then she used to write half English and half Italian. And I've got potatoes cut, put the potatoes on. Oh, all these things. And I remember, yeah.
So she would have prepared that at lunchtime?
At lunchtime.
And then
left the note for me. And then at night, when I'd come home from school, because I used to come home if I went by bike or used to come home by bus.
This is when you're at Hindmarsh?
When I was at Hindmarsh, yes. And I used to do it. And we used to make sure that your brother eats. Daga da mangiare Johnny. And she used to leave. As I said, the notes, big papers like that, and it was half written in Veneto and half written in English. Every second word was English or every third word was in Veneto. I don't know. And it would be lovely to keep, you know.
Yeah, they would have. They would have made a lovely sort of story. But you were obviously very responsible.
Very responsible. I think going back to it now, I keep thinking, gee, I said I used to do a lot at that age, more so than what a lot of the kids do today. And I see with my grandchildren, you sort of feed them all the time. You know, you're telling them, I'll do this and I'll do that, instead of letting them do it by themselves. But yeah, no, I think so. I think told, you know, we had to do it. I just accepted it, I suppose.
And did you have to have dinner at a certain time? Like, you know, prepare all, your mother had prepared
it all.
We'd eat,
sometimes we'd eat before Mum and Dad come home because they were, you know, either they come in late. Dad, sometimes if he'd come in for a quick bite or even before he used to eat, he used to go and the tomatoes had to be sorted, so he'd come home a little bit late. So our family together was basically on I remember Sunday lunchtime or Saturday night. And Saturday night we were always eat as a family together, but it was always a plate of brodo with pastina in it. And then it was also I never forget beef of shin. Mum used to always make with boiling meat, chicken, and then your vegetables. And it was always every Saturday. I didn't like Saturday night because it was always the same. And then we used to go for a bath. And our baths were, I used to have a shower, but the two little ones, my sister and my brother, used to one go in the bath first and then the other one used to, and think of it now after, we used to say, Mum, not in the same water, you're not dirty, she used to say. Now, see, all these things that are coming back.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how our memories work.
It's amazing. Yeah. I think of it now and I think, yeah, we were all... I used to have a shower. We used to, all three of us used to be in the bathroom. Me, a shower, and then Johnny and my sister together. And I think, oh, my gosh.
And did you have a chip heater? You know, like putting the little pieces of wood in the heater to
in
heat
the
up
kitchen,
the water?
Yes. Yes, we did, outside. Or did we have, this is outside the bathroom, on the side of the, did we have a chip heater or did we have just an ordinary, the heater used to come through the, you know, I can't remember. But it was, I know we only, Dad used to say, not too long in the shower. Even for me, not too long in the shower. There used to be these awful showers, you know, used to go underneath, yeah. Don't worry, it wasn't very long.
And you said that your mother worked in the garden. What role did she have?
Well, anything. She used to go and help them with the beans, or she used to go and help them pick the tomatoes, cucumbers.
Planting.
Yes, planting. I remember them bum up in the air and planting lettuce or planting whatever they had to plant. Yes, yeah, they were. And that was hot during hot spells, winter, cold, whatever. Yeah, they were out there. I didn't think much of it then. You think of it now and you think, gosh, you wouldn't, you know.
Long
Long days,
days
very
too.
long days, early in the morning. Dad used to get up and go to the market. Mum used to be up, used to get us ready for school. And then we used to go to school, son, and like I said, either bus or walk. And she used to go into the garden.
And what about you and your work in the garden? Like, what things did you have to do?
Not much. My sister and Deanna did more of anything. They used to go out and help them with the sorting of the tomatoes and things like that. I didn't. I think I was older and I still had to stay at home to look after my brother. I think that was basically because I remember a lot of times, you know, you stay home and you stay with Johnny, sort of thing. And whereas Denise and Deanna used to do a lot of putting the paper in the cases, in the half cases to pack the tomatoes, a lot of little things like that. Dean, see, my brother used to do a little bit, but not a lot. When think of it now, as they had Bolivar, then my brother wasn't involved in any of that because he couldn't. So Dean and Alan did a bit of that.
And about what year did Bolivar, you know, what the
I
buying?
was married. They still had, I can't remember when they bought Bolivar, but they bought Bolivar back in the, I got married in 68 and Dad died in 88 and I reckon they bought Bolivar in, not, I don't think they had Bolivar when I got married. I can't remember, well, did they? They could have had it when I got married in 68, but Dad had to give it all up before he passed on and that was 12 months before. So I reckon 86, probably didn't want to sell, but they had to because I think the government acquired the land then. They took it back, yeah.
And
So
so your role was more in the house?
mine was more in the house. I very rarely went out. If it did, it was to, no, I hardly ever went out to help them at all, to do anything. And like I said, and it was our taking out the coffee or, you know, yeah.
Going to see when they were killing the
Big,
pig.
oh yeah, that one there, yeah.
I should say, what was your social life as you were a young girl and leading up to meeting Danny, what did you do?
Well, there was a group of us. There was the Zampin girls, Linda, Ida Zarella, Edda Purviso, who now is in Italy, Terry. And we were socialising. I mean, we never, I don't think we ever went to the pictures and things like that. I can't remember doing any of that. I remember going out. I've got a photo there back in, and I reckon this is in the early 60s or late, yeah, early 60s with Sir Thomas Playford. We had, there was five of us, and that's when the Twist, Chubby Checker and the Twist first came out. And we were at the community hall on Crittenden Road. And he was a special guest. He was a speaker. I can't remember what whether it was the Italian community or what it was, but us girls were there, and we got a photo taken because we did the twist for him. And I remember going on stage. I remember with Terry and all doing that. I've got a photo of that. And actually, my sister gave us, saw it, got it on my phone actually. And that was back in the early 60s. And before meeting Danny, nothing much really. They used to have the bocce at the on Frogmore Road
Behind
behind
the
my auntie. Yeah, I'm in the shed. It used to be the shed, then the lane of the bocce, and that's where my auntie and both aunties used to live in the big house. So that was a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon activities with the men. And then bingo nights.
Where was that held?
In the shed, on Frogmore Road, in the shed outside.
And who would have run that?
Well, they all did. They were community. It was friends and family, and like the Mazzarolos, the boys, because I knew Gino and I knew Louis. They all came from Italy, so it was a get-together. Renzo, there's a whole group of them. So they used to have they used to play bingo, which was, what was it called in Italian? We used to play a tombola.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And we used to go, that was one function we used to do. We used to do that maybe once a month, they used to do that. And we used to get together that way. So we got to know the men and the boys that way.
And these are the boys who'd come from Italy.
These are the boys that come from Italy, and one that I really liked, and he went back to Italy and before I met Danny. And I got to know Danny through, because my uncle Louis, his wife, my zia Italia, is my mother-in-law's sister.
And she's a Bergamine?
She was a Bergamine, yeah. So when they used to go, the Conchis used to go down there mainly on a Sunday to see them. And so I got to know Noreen more so than Danny. And that's how we became involved after. A couple of times I went down when they were living at Glenelg. I went down there and met Danny, and we started dating back in 1962. I think the year that John F. Kennedy died. Which was 1962, 63.
How old were you?
16.
And then you didn't marry till you were 21.
I was nearly 21.
That's
got married
a long
in October.
Time.
Yep. I went with Danny all those years, and we sort of went together. We went out, and yeah.
What sort of things would you have done together?
We used to go on picnics with a group. He had. Danny's only three. He's 3 years older than me. So yes, we used to go with, especially with Terry, Linda, my cousin, picnics, going out for the day. We used to go down to Port Noarlunga Sandhills, places like that. That I remember.
What about dances and things
yes,
like that?
Yes, Centennial Park, Centennial Hall, when they used to have the Miss Juventus Quest. Centennial Hall, we used to go Saturday nights, but we had to be home by 11:30. You know, you had to go out at 7, but you had to be home by 11:30 at the latest. So different things like that. We weren't one for pictures, films. Danny was interested in photography. He loved photography, so he did a bit of that. So then it became involved with people who got married. Then we used to take photos and, you know, films and things like that. So we used to go then. And I think back in those years, there were a lot of young ones, a lot our age. So who was getting engaged? Who was going out? Who was having a party? So we were always, and it was always people that you sort of knew more than anything.
And were these all vanity, within the vanity?
Within the vanity. Yeah, there was a lot, more so than the Southern Italians. I think the only Southern Italians that we knew were the Fazzolaris, because they lived near us on Frogmore Road. And Mary, my daughter-in-law's mother, that's another thing there. We sort of grew up together on Frogmore Road, and then they moved to Findon and Findon to Salisbury. And I never saw her again until my son, I was married, never kept in contact. I was married and I had Gianni. Gianni started university and he came home one day and he said, "Mum, you know my friend's mother." And I said, "Who is she?" He said, "Mary Rochella, Rascala." I said, "No, I don't know any Rochella." "Yeah, you used to go to school with her cousin." "Oh," I said, "where?" He said at Hindmarsh, and her name was Rosa Fazzolari. I said, "Oh my gosh, you're talking about Mary." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I knew Mary at the age of 5 when she was, her mum and dad and Nina were all down, and Nick were down on Frogmore Road."
So were they?
They were at the back. Her father, Fred, Nina's father, Fred, had the shed. at the end of the little street that I was telling you about on off Frogmore Road. They had a big shed there, and there was they used to, I don't know what they used to have in there, but there was a shed that had held the tomatoes.
Did they live there?
Well, I thought they, I always thought that they lived in the big house, in that big house.
I did too.
I thought that they lived there. I always did, and I'm pretty sure that they did until they moved. They went to Findon. They went to Findon Road, and then from Findon Road, Fred moved to Salisbury. And that's where Mary and Nina and Nick went, over there. And then I only saw Mary again, as I said, when Daniel and Johnny became best friends at uni. And then Johnny met Lydia, my daughter-in-law, who's Mary's daughter. And now they're married and got two children.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, that's a real... I couldn't get over it. He goes to me, Mum, Mary wants to see you. I'll never forget the day. And I said, well, where does she live now? She said, oh, she lives down here at, she's married and she lives at, not Everston Gardens, she lived, oh, down that side, where Nina lives, down that way. And he goes to me, oh, I said, she'd like to see you. And so I met her and I couldn't get over it. After 40 odd years, both our boys got together. And then my son ended up with her daughter, with, you know, and the Fazzolari side. And yet I knew Mary when I was five.
And came from the same land, didn't you? Yeah. I think that you have given a really good account today of the various things that we've talked about. I wanted to ask you about... what do you think have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen, say, in the Frogmore Road area?
Oh, so much has gone on there. Yeah, it has changed. It's changed a lot. I think it's still, I go down there and I still feel as if it's Frogmore Road, it's the place I knew back all those years ago. Yes, development, there's still a few people that you sort of, you know, but, and you picture as you go down, you know that my grandfather's house is still there, so I can imagine that was, there's the land, and I can still visualise that. It has changed, you've got to change, I mean, that's part of growing up and developing and things like that, but it's still nice down there. It feels home. Even though I've lived here for 50 years, it probably feels home. But Valletta Road, yes, but not as much as Frogmore Road, because Frogmore Road, I think I spent most of my years there. I developed there, and that's where I met Danny and things like that. But there's changes as you know. The years were great. I mean, I grew up and I was. I think I had a wonderful childhood. I think I had a wonderful family. I think I was loved, and nothing bothered me. And I can see that now. And as much as what my parents went through and the hardships that they went through, not only, well, them a little bit easier than what my grandmother and grandfather went through, but we had everything. We weren't without, you know, we were fine.
Did your parents ever talk very much about their own childhood in Italy?
Not much. My mother didn't, no, she didn't say much. She just said that she was happier here than what she was over there. My dad never spoke much, but then I lost my dad. I was 40 when I lost my dad. I think I didn't have that, was able to talk to him because he was always a busy person. He was always on. He was in the garden, and then even after he didn't work because he had to sell his part to the brothers, and they had Bolivar. Not much was said with Dad. You know, it became. I think had he survived a little bit longer, maybe we would have. We were close, but we were close in a way that. I think he felt with John, what happened with Johnny and why he had a son and that was like that. And but he never complained, Dad. He was a nice, he was beautiful. And they used the kids. I remember we used to, Danielle especially, she grew up with my dad because he used to lay in the in his recliner chair, and Danielle always used to go up to him like a grandpa, used to sit on his lap, and or she used to comb his hair or twirl his hair, and he would let things do things like that, like a nonna would, I suppose, you know. So yeah, no, I think they were both. They mum more so because of the fact that she went on another 20-odd years after dad. And so with my mother, I truly miss her. I talk to her a lot, and that with her, I really do miss her a lot. But no, they were always there for us, you know. So yeah.
And Danny was from an Italian-Australian
So
family.
yeah,
He was born in
he was born
Adelaide.
here, yeah,
How
and.
important would it have been for your parents to know that you were marrying somebody who
I
was
think it was
part
one
of the
part of the
com
family, yeah, part of the community. I think it was great that they did, and also on his side, it was wonderful, you know. And I mean, my mother-in-law, I always maintain my mother-in-law was an angel. If she doesn't go to heaven, no one would, because she really was a beautiful lady. And so yes, it was important on both my parents and both his parents. And I think it was instilled into us. You sort of, you know, you marry, and that's probably why the community was. We kept together so much because a lot of them, if you look around now, a lot of we've known each other for years. So
Like the
yeah,
people from your
from your
childhood.
childhood, yes, yeah.
And what about having so many cousins? Like, what was that
Oh,
like?
that was great. Used to, and we still fight. We still talk now, especially with Linda, and more so the older side of the thing. And I think as we were younger, we were closer than what we are now. Because that's only understanding, because you've got your own family now, you know, you move on. But no, it was good. It was great. It was good to be together. And we used to get together once, three, four times a year, or whenever we got together, it was good. It was a nice big family. And we always take photos, so it was always memories, yeah.
And did the Santins and the Tonalatos get together much like those
No,
cousins? It was
not. It
more.
was more the Tonalatos one group and the Santons one group. So yes, and I
Yeah.
think the Tonalatos more so as a family than what the Santons did, because there were more, and it was bigger. But like Ziana only had Dean, and Ziclara, well, she like I said, Lisa came 20 years after. I always said to my auntie, Diana first, 10 years after was Alan. And another 10 years came in Lisa.
She had a long
She had a
time
long
between,
time,
yeah.
yeah.
And Sandra, what does your Italian heritage mean to you?
Oh gosh, my Italian heritage. Well, I do consider myself Australian, but Italian, yes, I'm glad that I am. I was born. I had two wonderful parents. They came out here very young, and yeah, I'm proud. I'm proud of being what I am and what I know and how I can speak. And people are amazed that I can. I mean, I have people in Italy that say to me, "How come you can speak Italian when you were born in Australia?" Because I think that was instilled in me by my grandparents, even though they were Veneti, both of them, and we had to speak. We spoke to them. That was how we speak, and that's how. We spoke Veneto, and it doesn't matter. I still understand, and I still can get around. Yeah, I'm proud that both my parents, what they did and what they instilled in me, and yeah, no, I'm glad.
And do you feel, you know, if I asked you if you felt like you've told me you feel Australian, but do you feel Italian or do you feel Veneta?
I don't know. I feel Italian. Possibly because of the simple fact that whether it's now, because of the fact that I've got so many other friends that are from all over Italy, and I've seen a lot of their side of cultures, and even though the Italian's always an Italian, but no, more so probably Italian than Veneta. And whether that's because the Veneti side of me now. And yet, when I went back to Italy, the 204, and I met all of these other ones, the Visintin and that on my mother's grandmother's side, yeah, it was great.
And that connection
That connection is
like to your parents, your grandparents.
Yes.
Home, town,
that's exactly,
really.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was good to see where Mum and Dad, but Mum and Dad didn't come out at the age of 20 and 25 and 30. They came out young, and I think like Mum said, used to say, yes, I remember, but I remember very little, because that's how she came out at the age of 12. So, and it was hard. So, yeah, both and dad 13. So they physically, like she used to say, oh, I'm Australian. I'm Italian, born in Italy, but Australian. And yet my grandparents never learned English.
Well, I guess they were of a different generation, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, I think so.
And a small community.
Community, very, very. It wasn't a big community. It was very small, and they kept together because, like with Grandpa, I mean, there was only a few friends that came out, and they stuck together, and what they did, they worked, and they worked hard, and just for what we've got today, it was through them.
Yeah, that is, I agree.
Yeah.
And before closing the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to say in the interview?
No, just that not much. I miss them all. I had a great, like I said, I had a wonderful childhood and I had a wonderful life, have a wonderful life. And I think it's all through them, through my grandparents, through my mum and dad, and also my aunties and uncles. I think we were all a very, very close family. And I think it was all because of them that we are what we are today. So, no, nothing much, just that I'm just happy to be here.
Well, that's lovely, and it's a really nice way to end the interview. And thank you very much for giving your memories and for giving so many details, which are really interesting about your family and growing up in that
area.
It's
amazing what you remember, what you, you know. And I kept thinking all week, I kept saying, no, I can't remember that, I don't remember this. But little twigs start to happen, and like my grandparents and, you know, my nonno, like I said, you can remember him always with a pipa, nonno da pipa. And, yeah, my other grandfather with a cane and all these little things. And yet my grandmothers were two angels, you know, so they were all right, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's lovely to have those, you know, really strong memories of those generations.
Yeah, generations.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be too.
Well, thank you very much,
it's all right,
Sandra.
Madam.
Thank you.